one year to date given by Dr. Naftali Lowenthal.
Right, our topic for today is Sfiras HaOmer. So we're going to try to look at some aspects of Sfiras HaOmer from a Hasidic point of view, but of course that is the funnel for what it says in the Chumash and in the Gemara and the general teachings of Chazal. One point that we, of course, know right away about Sfiras HaOmer from Parshas Emma, where it speaks about Usafatem Lochem Mimochras HaShabbos. The whole phrase of Mimochras HaShabbos, which the Chachomim say Shabbos there means the Yom Tov of Pesach. And there were people who said, the Baitusim, the Stoikim, whatever, who said that this means Shabbos Bereshis. And so they insisted they wanted to have the first day of Pesach on Shabbos, because it's a whole problem in even our second day Yom Tov comes as a result of this argument that we weren't able to communicate easily exactly when was Rosh Chodesh. So the question is, why should the Chumash give this room to make a mistake? So that's a question that we'll begin off with, and maybe at the end we'll be able to answer it. Now, what exactly is happening in the Sfiras HaOmer? We know that the very beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was at the snare, at the burning bush, Moshe Rabbeinu is there at the burning bush at the snare, and he's told by Hashem that when you come out of Mitzrayim, when you bring the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, you're going to serve Hashem on this mountain. Ta'abdunis alekim alohazeh, you'll serve Hashem here at Hasina. So therefore, we've got three basic stages. We've got the idea of being in Mitzrayim and coming out, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then we've got the 49 days in between that Yetzias Mitzrayim and coming to Har Sinai, and then we have the revelation at Har Sinai. Now, when we look at the Yomim Tovim and the various aspects about this, we see that at the beginning, when they were beginning, they were counting. They were there in the whole idea of Usfatim Lachem means, and of bringing the Omer, the Korban Omer, was made of what kind of
barley.
Barley. Was made of barley. Now, there is a minhag that in the 49 days between Pesach and Shavuos, to learn a Masechta which has got 49 daf. And there are actually two Masechtas. One is Shavuos, although the name Shavuos has nothing to do with the Yom Tov Shavuos, it's to do with oaths. But the other one is Soita. And there's a general minhag to study Masechta Soita.
The minhag was also Soitas, wasn't it?
That's exactly right. That's a very good point, which it says in Soita, Daf Yudalet. So people who learn one page a day, they of Soita, so that was yesterday's daf. That on Daf Yudalet, it tells us, it speaks about the whole idea of the mincha of the Soita being barley, and that is, and here we have the mincha of the Korban HaOmer is also barley. So what's the vergleich? How do you have this? What's the similarity? Yeah. Now, so we have during Pesach, of course, with food, there is no chometz whatsoever. There cannot be any leaven whatsoever. We're eating Pesach. Then, when we get into the days of the Omer, so there's this concept of the barley mincha. Somehow, we're counting, relating to this mincha of barley, which is like the mincha of the Soita, and that's a challenging concept. And then we come to Shavuos, And Chag HaShavuos is distinguished by Shtei HaLechem, two wheat loaves made chometz stick.
Yeah, I think that's
the only carbon that's chometz. That's right, except for with the carbon toida. With the carbon toida, and that's why we don't say Mizmor HaSoda Cholamoid or Erev Pesach or Cholamoid Pesach, unlike Cholamoid Sukkos. We do say Mizmor HaSoda in Psukah de Zimra, but we don't. So there we have. So there we have this process from a complete abscess, a complete absence of any kind of chometz. Then the idea that we do eat chometz, but there's a certain focus on barley, on sa'irim. And then we come not just to chitim, but chitim, which is actually chometz dig, the shtei alechem, which are two chometz loaves there in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, in order to understand this, we have a pasuk from Shir HaShirim. But first of all, let's just understand a little bit more about the inner structure of a person. The person has got a nefesh elokis and a nefesh habahamis. This nefesh habahamis is the problematic aspect, and in fact, the nefesh habahamis is really that's where the yetzer hara is. It's called the nefesh habahamis rather than just the yetzer hara, because there are aspects of the nefesh habahamis we use in daily life in a permitted way, and because otherwise, if we didn't salivate when we ate food, then we wouldn't be able to digest the food properly. So there's certain responses of the nefesh habahamis, and the if you're trying to turn right at a busy street driving, you need a bit of oomph from the nefesh habahamis to get you over to get you around the corner. So but if it goes to extreme, then that nefesh habahamis is the yetzer hara and is very problematic. So the idea is, what we're trying to do is masaken, is to put right, purify, elevate the nefesh habahamis. And this we see from a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Moshcheini acharecha norutza, draw me after you, we say to Hashem, Moshcheini norutza, we will run. Heviyani HaMelech Hadorov, the king brought me into his inner chamber. So Moshcheini Acharecha, that is like us coming out of Mitzrayim. That we left Mitzrayim, Hashem dragged us out of Mitzrayim. There we were out of Mitzrayim, and in a sense, it's the Nefesh HaLekis who got out of Mitzrayim. The Nefesh HaBahamis, in a sense, is still in Mitzrayim. We got out of Mitzrayim, but we didn't get the Mitzrayim out of us. So therefore we have the avodah then of the time of Sfiras HaOmer, the time of preparation for Matan Torah, when we are trying to get the Mitzrayim out of us. That's when we are trying to masaken our nefesh of Bahamas and make it something that is fit to be there in receiving the Torah from Hashem at Hasin. So that is norutza, we will run. And in fact, there is a concept, Rav Tfus Bekoyach Shah, that when we are able to tame the ox inside us, then we've got a tremendous power. So if we can get the Nefesh HaBahamis on board doing the right thing, then there's a tremendous positive energy in Avodas Hashem. So that is the norutza, and through this comes ultimately the climax of Heviyani HaMelech HaDorav, the king brings me into his chamber. And there we see the significance of the Minchas Soita being also of barley, as it says in the Gemara there, he also, she did an act, Maisa Behema, so let her bring a carbon, which is Maichu Behema. And the Maisa Behema, that's the Nefesh HaBahamis. The Nefesh HaBahamis is interested in Behema's bigger things. And so what we are trying to do is refine the Nefesh HaBahamis, is purify it. And that's the avodah, taking the carbon, the mincha of barley at the beginning of Sfiris HaOmer, counting the Omer, working on ourselves during the time of Sfiris HaOmer, and then coming to that state of refinement when we come into the throne room, so to speak, receiving Hashem at Matan Torah. Now that relates, we have the idea of Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan, that Nisan is the time when we're brought out of Mitzrayim, and Iyar is the Ani Hashem Roifecho, that's when we're trying to put things right, and then we come ultimately to Sivan, that's right, and there is this beautiful revelation of Hashem. Now that can help us understand what does it mean L'mochras HaShabbos, because in order to transform our nefesh of Bahamas, we need a help. We need a help from Hashem. Ein chavush mate es atzmai. We need a certain siyata d'shmaya. We need all kind of spiritual input in order to help us. And through that, we're able to usafatem. What does usafatem mean? It means you should count. But there's another way of understanding it. That's right. Loshen sapir, shining, sapphire. Make yourself shine. Exactly. Make yourself shine. Make the nefesh Abrahamis, make yourself shine. And then we are coming closer to Hashem. Now, in order to make ourselves shine, we have to consider what are the different qualities of this nefesh Abrahamis. And that is where we turn to a page in Chassidus, in Tanya Kadisha, where it talks about the different middos which are there in the nefesh. That's right, in Igeres HaKodesh, yes, Simon Tesvav. Yes, Igeres, the fourth part of Tanya, Simon 15. So he speaks there about the spheres. You see, the spheres HaKodesh, the spheres are mentioned in Sefer Yetzirah, talks about Esther spheres and Zoya Kodesh and the whole Sifri Kabbalah and Chassidus, but the concept of spheres is that these are the emanations of Hashem. The same word sphera, sapir, like something radiant, it expresses something of the radiance, the infinite radiance of Hashem, in such a way that we tiny, limited, finite human beings are able to talk about it and discuss it, because really, when you're talking about the Eivishter, leis machshava tvisa beklal, thought cannot grasp Hashem at all, avol nitfas il bereusa deliba, but he can be reached in some sense by the yearning of the heart. So, now, but at the same time, there comes the Yiluyim, which are there in the Sifrei Kabbalah, and brought down into our, in the last few hundred years, into the world of Chassidus, because it used to be that Kabbalah was restricted very much, but then the Arizal says that Rishus v'choiva legaloi zois hachochma, but still a lot of people weren't that sure whether it should be revealed, because one of the problems with it is that it's such a radiant dimension that the person's neshama might be drawn to that away from the world. And we have a shlichus that we have to be here in the world, doing our avodah here in the world. As we see in the account in the Gemara, in the second perek of Chagiga, about Abba Shenichnasu Bepardes, where they came into this very spiritual atmosphere, and three out of four of them, something went wrong. So, but if it's nichnas v'shalom, it says in Yerushalmi that Rabbi Akiva nichnas v'shalom, but yotze v'shalom. If it's nichnas v'shalom, then yotze v'shalom, and we could say that that's a Hasidic derech. So that is why when the Baal Shem Tov wrote in his famous letter that yofutzu minus echochutzo, so that's the idea, the spiritual teachings of Yiddishkeit being communicated, but in such a way of nichnas v'shalom, and then we not only yotze b'shalom, but we take it with us in a positive way into the world. So here we have the idea of the spheres which are in the person, and that we are most nuschois in have that in spheres ha'oma, there is the way in which we give the sphira for that particular day. Each week is one of the spheras, and our week now is Tiferes, and today is the sphera of Chesed of Tiferes, and so what we're going to do is try to look at what these spheras are psychologically, because the neshama, the nefesh, whether it's the nefesh elikis, the divine soul, or the nefesh abaham, it's the animal soul. The nefesh elikis is drawn from Hashem, and so therefore the same way that Hashem expresses these 10 spheres, that is a way of thinking about the infinite Hashem, it's also a way to understand what is in the nefesh, what is in the soul. Now, we're not looking, there's Chochma, Bina, and Das, those are the upper three. Now the Seichel is, we have to use our Seichel in the right way. To be Mesaken our Seichel is a higher kind of Avodah. What we are talking about here are the lower seven Midas, which are the emotions. There's Seichel and Midas. Midas means emotions, and we're talking about Tikkun HaMidas, trying to put the Midas right. So the first midah is chesed. Well, chesed's very straightforward, one would imagine. Chesed means kindness, love. But chesed can be a problem in that the person gives chesed indiscriminately. But it can be an indiscriminate chesed without any kind of seichel. Should he give to this thing or not give to this thing? Someone comes and says, we're making a petition about something. Oh, okay, I'll sign. Wait a minute. Read what the petition is. you have to look at it a bit carefully. And so now the way that the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Schneur Zalman, presents it in this period, it's a teacher. He gives the moshel of a teacher teaching a class. Now that's a very interesting thing. The teacher is teaching something, and really the teacher has this wonderful hasoga. It's most fantastic thing. There's a Toisvus and a Ran, and then the Acharonim take this in a wonderful way, and he's teaching this class of 11-year-old boys, and he wants to put over this whole wonderful pilpul that is in his mind. And he's going too fast. Maybe one or two children can follow him, but maybe the others can't. So he's got to have gvura as well. Gvura is severity, but gvura means holding back. Wait a minute, put the brakes on. Not so fast. First of all, explain what the Mishnah says. Then take what the Gemara is saying. Look up the psukim in the Chumash and show them the psukim. Then we come to Rashi's explanation. And then we look at Tosfos' explanation. And then, so step by step, he's able to present it to them. Now, and he might say to himself, you know what? There's a wonderful, wonderful pilpul in Sheb Shmaitzer, but it's going to be too much. I'm going to have to leave it out. Or in the Rogachov. I can't give it to them. They won't be, they're not caning for it. So that means that through a combination, the Rashi and Tosfos, yes, but later fireworks, it'll be too much. So it's, or Reb Chaim. So therefore, what is he doing? He's got a mixture of Gvura and Chesed, and that comes out as Tiferes. Tiferes is a mixture, harmony, that's right. And the point the Alter Rebbe makes is that if you have a garment which is like to express splendor, Tiferes, like splendor. So if the garment is completely white, it doesn't quite, or if it's completely red, but if it's a mixture of white and red, then it's got this sort of Tiferes quality, the mixture. Yes, this mixture, and another way the word Tiferes is also explained as Rachamim. Rachamim means mercy, compassion. You have compassion, and you have compassion on your pupils. You give them exactly what they require, and in such a way that they're able to take it. Now here we come to grinding up, and organizing the lesson in such a way that they can take it. And here we have Netzach. Now, Netzach means victory. And there's another meaning of the word Netzach, eternity, but that doesn't come in so much in this level of explanation of the words. It's victory or endurance. Now, in the process of teaching, there might be a number of problems which show themselves. For example, the electricity might have gone in the classroom. And so there's not enough light, so they have to find another classroom in which to learn. So that is Netzach, and the teacher could say, oh well boys, you know, there's no electricity, it's dark, let's say it's a winter afternoon, all right, you can go home. But an Emerson Melamed will say, come on, let's find another room in the building. He goes to the headmaster, listen, headmaster, I can't teach in this room. The lights are off. We've all got that problem. But let me have a room. What about if we learn, you know, and he finds an answer.
Overcoming adversity.
That's right, overcoming adversity. So there's overcoming adversity, michutz, from the outside, like the electricity cut. But there's another kind of adversity. That's much more problematic. It's the adversity inside the teacher himself. These children, a cop coming in, they're never going to understand. I'm just going to tell them the Mishnah and that's it. They'll never even follow the first day.
Don't give up.
So that's the thing. The teacher mustn't give up. Now then we have Hoyd. Now, it's interesting that in the page of Tanya over here, it says, B'chsav yad nirshem choseh. In the manuscript of the letter, this was a letter of Rabbi Shneur Zalman, and when they put the letter in the first, the edition which was printed after his Stalkus, where they put these letters in as well, they wrote down choseh. So the question is, what is meant by hoyd? And there are various other places that make me suggest hoyd means hoyda. Hoyda means acceptance. Acceptance, one way of understanding the word hoyda is like the word moidi Rabbi Meir l'chachomim. Or moidi l'chachomim l'Rabbi Meir.
Submitting.
That's right, submitting. So the Chachomim submit to Rabbi Meir. This relates to Moide Ani. Moide Ani Lefanech. We say Moide Ani at the very beginning of davening. It's a kind of self-submission to Hashem. At this point, I don't know anything. I've just dragged myself up. I'm awake. But I say Moide Ani Lefanech. I know Hashem, you are right. Whatever it is, whatever the plan is for today, I'm with you. That's just Hashem. So that's moide. That's hoydah.
Is that the opposite of Netzach, actually? Knowing when to give up. Is that all?
Well, the way that I understand it is that in order to carry through the teaching process, you need to be able to submit to the pupil. You have to listen to the pupil.
Oh, yeah.
You listen to the pupil and see what the pupil himself is saying. And what he's interested in, and what you find a way to present it in such a way you have to understand what the pupil is excited about in order for you to give the lesson in an exciting way. So that's the haidah. Otherwise, you come in it's as if you're not hearing, you're not listening, you're not seeing what the pupils are, but you find out what the pupil is. So that's Hoydah. Then comes Yesoid. Yesoid is the connection between the higher spheres and spheres HaMalchus. Now that point of connection is Ava, is dedication, is love. And Rabbi Shneur Zalman explains that when you're teaching, there has to be a feeling of devotion to the pupil. And it's that devotion to the pupil which enables what you're teaching, the Chochmah, the wisdom, the Torah, enables that to be transmitted to the pupils so they're able to absorb these ideas, that the pupil feels you care about him. And it's that caring, and you look at him, and there's eye contact, and there's you're aware of what the pupil is doing, and the pupil feels that you care, and he puts in a little bit more koyach of his mayach in order to understand what the Tosfos is saying. That's because you are putting in this concern. And through that you come to Malchus. And Malchus is the fulfillment, is the completion, Machshava, Dibbo, Maisa, bringing the whole thing out in a complete way. So now we can apply these different concepts to the different weeks. And it's as if a person takes this in a serious way, in a Musa style, that they're going to take each week of Sfiris HaOmer and they're going to apply, what have I done wrong in the realm of Ava, in the realm of giving, or Ava Kipshuta, which ways, whether in Machshava, Dibba, Maisa, and trying to work on themselves. Then comes the week of Gvura. Now we're in the week of Tiferes. And the week of Tiferes, that is a time where the person makes the effort that the balance of what we're communicating around us and the way that we relate to other people that should be in a balanced way. The chesed of Tiferes, gvura of Tiferes, that each of the different spheres within that week, within that framework. So we try to masakan ourselves in that. And there are people who have written like little mental exercises for a person to try to do in tune with this idea about Sfiris HaOmer, to try to actually refine themselves. Bechlal, it's a time to learn extra Torah. And here we understand what is happening. We're dealing with the Soita inside us. We're dealing with the Nefesh HaBahamis who can look as if it's, God forbid, unfaithful to Hashem, and we are trying to be Masakenet. Now, it's interesting in that consideration that Lag BaOmer turns out to be Hoid SheBahoid, Bittul of Bittul. Now, that is a very, very pure stance. And that is the time, you see, that we're reaching above in order to mahapech. You see, there are two aspects. One is control, that's his kafya, and one is transformation, which is hafcha. So we can control our midas, or we could try to control them, or we can transform them. We can make them more edel. And really what we're doing to do that, we need to reach up to Hashem. We need a bit of inspiration in order to do it. And that's where comes the whole idea of learning Sifrei Musa, Sifrei Chassidus, bringing some kind of extra inspiration into our lives to make this an easier thing to do. And that's the Mocharis HaShabbos, that we have to reach to the Mocharis HaShabbos, higher than Shabbos. Shabbos is the seventh day of the week, is in the Hekef, is in the cycle of existence. It's spiritual, it's beautiful. But the Mocharis HaShabbos is the higher level, which is a higher source of Ruchnius from Hashem Yisbarach, which enables us to transform our seven Midas, to bring the Midas onto a higher level. That's a very good point. Yes, the Yom, that's the glory, the power of Yom HaShmini. That's why it was such a tremendously powerful. Yeah. And also Lemailim in Asechel, that's with like Dinim of Kashrus. Now, all this can be applied to our Avodah every single day. Because one of the things that we learn about Pesach is that, as I think the last thing that I spoke about here, b'chol dor v'dor, b'chol yoim v'yoim, every single generation and every single day, chayiv odom lirois atzmoi, a person has the chiyuv to see himself as ke'ilu, as if he went out of Mitzrayim hayoim, as if he went free from Mitzrayim today. So that's the way that Tanya rephrases the famous Mishnah, and which is a part of the Haggadah. Now, this applies every day in the process of davening. The beginning of davening is Moed Ani. The beginning of davening is a simple bittul, like matzah, which is bittul, which is selflessness. In matzah, you see, there's no sa'ah, there's no leavening. And so that leaven is like the ego, like the ich. And so we have no leavening. But then comes the process of purification, of transforming the,
You've got plenty of time.
So there's the process of dealing with of eating chometz. We eat chometz during the days of the Oima, but what we're trying to do is be masak in the chometz, and then we come to the positive idea that on Shavuos we dafka have two chometz loaves offered in the Beis HaMikdash. We've achieved the tikkun of the chometz, and therefore the chometz is so spiritual it can be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. Now this is happening in davening as well. We start off at the beginning of the day, drag ourselves out of bed in order to get to the minion of the nets, and there we are. Depends what time you went to them. and there we are. So that's the beginning of the avodah. But then comes Psuka de Zimra. Now Psuka de Zimra, from the point of view of Rabbi Shneur Zalman and Tanya, you know, he says, you know, davening can't be a 40-minute davening. Davening should be a bit longer than that. And the time of Psuka de Zimra is really a time for someone to work on themselves. Ideally, they should come to shul long before the minyan begins, learn something inspiring, so that by the time the minyan begins, they're already switched on, they're ignited. And then when they're saying the words of the davening, these are words of Sefatem Lachem, they're shining, they're the radiant words. And through that, one is coming higher and higher through Psuka de Zimra and then into the Birchus Kriya Shema, and the Kaddish before Baruch Hu is like going up to a higher level, like up to a higher dimension. And so we go up to a higher level, and then there's Birchus Kriya Shema, then there's Shema Yisrael, we're always gaining Getlichkeit, it's Hashem Echad, there's only Hashem. What does it mean, Hashem Echad? It means that Ein Oid Milvadoi, there's nothing apart from Hashem. And then we come to the Shmoneh Esrei, which is absolute bittul, a complete selflessness, bonding with Hashem, being Haviyani HaMelech HaDorov. We're standing there in front of Hashem, so in this very intense way. So that is the process, and in that process of Psuka de Zimra, there is the time when we are trying to transform our Nefesh HaBahamis. So the Nefesh HaBahamis, instead of being interested in the latest gadget or whatever it might be, it's got a koch in Elokus, it's got a simcha and a freilichkeit in Elokus, and through that we come to our personal Matan Torah every single day. So, that's what's such a...